In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Christ is born. On this beautiful Sunday after Nativity, 40 days of preparing our hearts, our bodies, our souls for the feast of the Lord's birth, we don't just leave it behind. My kids and I were driving through our neighborhood noticing how almost the day after Christmas, many people had turned their lights off, if they haven't taken them off. And certainly by New Year's, they will. And for us, we're still in the midst of this joy. And the Lord knows our fickle human hearts, and we need 40 days to prepare. And we need more than one day to feast and to spiritually feast, not just eat. We can all do that. But to spiritually, to let the power, not just mentally, but spiritually, the power of what's happening and what has happened and what the reality change with the coming of Christ into the world is. And it gives us these 12 days of Christmas that Christmas carols talk about, and they laud. For us, it becomes our reality, hopefully. The church is still beautifully adorned. We're still wearing the beautiful vestments, and our hearts are still there, hopefully. Right? And the good thing about the world, before Christmas, it was easy to get caught up. Now the world's going back to its depressing way of being, and we're not. Maybe we're a little less distracted now. Maybe in some ways our hearts are more ready to meditate, and more importantly, to live out the birth of Christ. In the beautiful gospel reading today, always appointed in every Orthodox church in the world for the Sunday after Nativity. So you notice last week was the Sunday before Nativity. The church preparing us, we had the Nativity services, so beautiful, and now the Sunday after Nativity. So that, what there's more to learn, more for our hearts to grow. And the gospel read beautifully. It's nice to see the new deacon. My heart rejoices. He's not our deacon. I wish he was our third deacon, but Deacon Matthew. A dear friend of mine and my family, and for many, many years, and I had hoped he'd become a deacon a long time ago, so recently ordained just a few weeks ago, so axios to him. In the gospel he read, we hear about the Lord's flight into Egypt, right? We know that Joseph, this beautiful man who was given to the mother of God to protect her in virginity, protected her, and then when they fled, because Herod wanted to kill all the infants, he was so angry. So the wise men, these beautiful men who offered these gifts to who worshiped the stars and now worshiped the living God, they left another way, not trusting Herod. And Herod was viciously angry and killed all those thousands of infants. And the Lord, being preserved, was taken. Now on the Sunday after Nativity, we always honor three saints especially. We honor Saint Joseph the Betrothed, we just talked about, David the King, and also James, the brother of the Lord. So those of you who are saints, today is actually your biggest names day. Why? David the king, who foretold the coming of the great king, our Lord's birth, Sunday after. James, the brother of the Lord, who would go and was with them on the flight to Egypt. He was with them as a young boy when they went and they were leaving and fleeing with his, because his father, he was half-brother with Christ, so to speak, right? Joseph was married before. This is a good thing to talk about. Who is Joseph? Why is he so important? The fathers say he was 80 years old, right? Very old when he was betrothed to the mother of God. 80, 90 years old. And that he was a kinsman related to her. And he had many children. By the way, so his children, his daughter, Salome, she had two of her sons were apostles. One of his own, the sons of thunder. Right? James and John. So think about that. He is the grandfather of apostles. In addition, you have James. His other son was Jude, the good Judas, so to speak. The good Judas. How many apostles came from St. Joseph who protected her and he was given her why? For a few reasons. One, because he was well respected. And if you were alone as a woman or a child without a man around those days, you could be stomped into the ground. And so the Lord cared about even these things to send Joseph, this beautiful man, a man of purity. Don't believe in this nativity movie where it's like studly young Joseph. It's not true. Right? Right? Or when you hear the mother of God cry out in pain, she had no pain during childbirth. That's the whole church proclaims this. Right? Her pain was at the cross later watching her son. She conceived without pleasure, they say, and she gave birth without pain, the fathers say, unanimously. And so he protected her, guided her. So she could have this unknown life of virginity. It wasn't known to protect them. And to be strong enough to flee, even in his old age, into Egypt. To fulfill the prophecy. What did the Lord say? The prophecy, out of Egypt I have called my son. as the Father said. Not your son, Joseph, my son. Right? So this beautiful man, Joseph, we have his icon out from the back by Saints Peter and Paul. Kiss it with love. He's an amazing saint. Just like these beautiful men who commemorate David and also Saint James. So today we've heard lots of homilies in the past. Last Sunday, on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, St. Stephen Day, all talking about the same thing. That life should be different now. We should live so differently. Reality utterly changed 2,000 years ago on Christmas Day. Right? Life, the whole world changed. God, who was far away, is now Emmanuel, God with us. Not far away, not distant. That's the greatest thing in the whole world we talked about. There's been no greater news and never will be. Here's the bad news. People don't believe it. They don't live different lives. So today, I want to try to help you. So how do we go from hearing that and saying, that's so beautiful, Father Justin. I know if I hear it and go, that's unbelievable. I want to live that way. We should live differently than people next to us out in the street who don't believe in Jesus. We should live differently than those who don't believe that we're going to live forever. We're going to live forever. God has come amongst us. There's no more separation. There's no more fear, no more sadness, no more depression. So how dare we go around being depressed and fearful enough? Because we don't believe it. And last week we talked about, I told you a story from the prison camp about what does this faith look like of a person who believes it. And that was very beautiful and inspiring, I hope to you. I think we all need real world examples because we get this fake idea of what spirituality looks like. I wish all of you had been here last night. I wish I had been here last night. I was sick. Father Paul read this beautiful thing we found talking about the spiritual life. The spiritual life as an Orthodox Christian, there's medicine we take. Yes, we pray, and we fast, and we read spiritual books, and we stop certain sins, and we go to church, and we enter the life of the church. But here's what's easy. It's easy to become a poser, an Orthodox poser. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I know a friend in an Orthodox ethnic family, the person comes to church once or twice a month, and the people mock them saying, what, are you going to become a nun? Isn't that sad that going to church every Sunday is considered weird? That's not what I'm saying. That's not being a poser. That's normal. So keeping the fast of the church, normal. That's just normal. Right? May not be in a warped family, but it's normal. Doing your morning, evening prayers, normal. Saying the Jesus prayer throughout the day, it's normal. Right? Keeping the fast, reading the Bible every day, these are normal for Orthodox Christians. The temptation is to think that if you do these things, you're an incredible person. You're like off the charts. Maybe compared to this fallen world, but compared to these saints, we got to humble ourselves. And the whole point of Father Paul's talk last night was, we have to learn to be human beings first. Before we can be in this, he says, before you can get to the sky, you have to have your feet firmly planted on the ground before you can leap. Before you can be like the God-man, Jesus Christ, you have to be a normal person. Not like the world's normal. We're very good at that. But just to be a simple, loving person. I say all the time, you know, some people, Father, I did hundreds of prostrations. I did this, I did that. And I'm thinking to myself, it's too bad because you're still a jerk. Forgive me. It's not doing anything. You know? And then sometimes I meet people that, you know, maybe they go confession a few times a year. Maybe they're a little lazy about their prayers sometimes, but they have so much love for people. And they always will help you, and they always do other things. I take that any day of the week. Now, have you heard that? Don't get me wrong. Don't say, I'll just be that guy or that gal. No. It doesn't have to be that way. The more you pray, and the more you prostrate, and the more you read spiritual books, the more normal and loving you should be. Right? The Christ becoming a man and a baby, it should change our whole heart. Christ is inside of us and he touches everything that we touch. Right? We always have time to help someone move. We always have time to do something. We always want to sacrifice ourselves rather than others have to do it. We're always putting ourselves last and everyone else first. To be, you know, Father Seraphim Rose would say, they come to the monastery in California, very ascetic, and they say, what should I read, Holy Father? Should I read this old text, this in Greek? He'd say, here. And he'd give him a Charles Dickens book. He'd give him, right, David Copperfield. And they'd be like, oh, this isn't a spiritual place at all. He wasn't even Orthodox, blah, blah, blah. And he'd say, listen, if you read David Copperfield, he suffered a lot and he had a good, forgiving, loving, childlike heart. And you can't even begin to approach the steps of the saints until you start here. And many of us want to leap to that place. So yeah, our life is normal, but you can tell if you're bearing fruit. Are you a kind person? Does the loving Christ, does he make you more loving to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your spouses, to each other here? Because if not, we got to work on it. Something is wrong in our prayers. We're praying like hypocrites. To end, I want to say this. We've all heard the stories. We've all heard the hymns. What's left for us to do in this season? Why are we given the rest of these days? To live it. To live it. Not just to go, wow, what, the world is totally different. I should be different. We can spend all day being really fat and saying, I should be skinny. I should be skinny. But guess what's going to happen? That's all you do. Nothing. Right? We're full of hopes. We're full of empty hopes all the time. Right? New Year resolutions are coming, right? A lot of people are going to resolve to lose weight, do that, and they'll have a week or two and they'll lose it. Because they don't really want it. They're more in love with their passions than they are with virtue. Right? That's the world we live in. The saints were not. The saints had a toughness and a dedication to Christ that he became more important than anything. But they were just like us before that happened, so you know. What was it that broke in them? What was it that changed them so they went from being kind of worldly and spiritual and kind of just, how do they make this real to making it real? They just jumped in and did it. We think about everything. Before you buy a house, you think, you do all these things, you make all these moves, before you jump in. That makes sense. When it comes to the spiritual life, we want to think about it forever. Or justify it. Well, that makes sense. That really makes sense. Isn't that weird just for monks or blah, blah, blah? And before long, we've psyched ourselves out. And we've justified why we don't need to pray. We've justified why the fast doesn't really apply to me. We justify why we don't get up earlier. Justify why we don't give to the poor. We don't tie it to the church. We always justify. But then wonder why we don't go change in the end. Why are they any different? Right? Think about it medicinally. If you're sick and the doctor gives you all this medicine, go to bed, get some good enough sleep, eat healthy, drink enough water, take this medicine, exercise, do these things, and you go back to him a month later and say, I'm sicker than ever. He goes, okay, well, what's the medicine not work? I mean, are you getting enough sleep? No, not at all. Are you eating healthy? No, not at all. Drinking enough water? No, that's too hard. Taking the medicine? No, it tastes icky. Are you exercising? No, that's too hard. Well, I wonder why you're still sick. Right? We would laugh at that from a spiritual, from a physical perspective. It makes sense. We are like that all the time spiritually. Why am I depressed, Father? Why is our marriage bad? Why don't I love my parents? Why don't I love my kids? Why don't I love other people? Well, the first thing you should ask is it God's fault? We usually do that. Is it our fault? Yes. But what are we doing? Not lack of intention. We all have good intentions if you're here on Sunday morning. It's the follow through. People can't discipline their kids because the follow through is hard. People can't change their habits and get into a workout program because it's hard. And we give up so easily, don't we, in our lazy modern times. A big part of the spiritual life, brothers and sisters, is a toughness, is a courage. And say, one of the saints we're reading about, Father Paul and I, this new saint, Elder Arseni Papatroc, he was a great elder in Romania. He said, no one wants to suffer, but if you're going to suffer, stop complaining about it and conquer it. Conquer the suffering with Christ instead of complaining like a baby about it. And if we're honest, we're all pretty baby-like. We're all, woe is me. Why is my life so hard? Why did God do this? Why did God give me this kind of spouse? I hear it in confession. Why did God give me kids that are so hard? Why doesn't anyone listen to what I say? Right? It's always someone else's fault. We can't change anyone, our spouse, our kids. Only person you can change if you're lucky is right here. If you're lucky. But if you do change that one human heart, the entire world begins to change. I want to end by reading you this little letter that was written. It was written during the terrible communist persecution in Russia, where they sent all the bishops and priests, 95% of the bishops and priests were killed or sent to prison camps, to the gulag, where they were killed or died of starvation or freezing. And yet, it became one of the most glorious places of Christian renewal. And one of the most famous letters, they weren't sure who wrote it, now they think this Metropolitan Trifon, Metropolitan Emmanuel, wrote it to one of his spiritual children. So bishops and priests, it would be like me and Father Paul being arrested for being Christian priests, which would happen. If they didn't crucify me to the doors, they would do that. They'd come in and shoot the priest in the head, or they just went and they crucify him right to the doors during liturgy. And then the other priest, they sent him to Siberia. This is real. And if believers got in the way, they were sent to, and they did. They were so brave. They loved Jesus more than anything, and they inherited eternal life. And we love this life so much, we want to lift a finger for eternity often. So, in the prison camps, they'd be sent to different ones. They wrote letters. And this beautiful bishop, he wrote this letter to his spiritual son, who was a priest, who was suffering. He was suffering in prison camp. He was sad. He was struggling. And he wrote it in the perspective as from Christ. He wrote it as a letter from Christ to this priest. And I find this so heartening when I want to be self-pitying and woe is me. And if God, you said God is with us and He's not far away anymore. He's far away than me. I hear it all the time. Father, He's far away from me. He's far. And God, forgive me. Even I feel that way sometimes as a priest. But you know when that is? It's when I'm not praying vigilantly. It's when I'm not doing my spiritual reading vigilantly. When I become very worldly and look at the world of success. I think as a priest, we'll be a happy priest life. You know, everyone likes you. Parish is growing. We're going to build another parish. Everyone's growing. I never read that in the lives of the saints anywhere. Never. What I've read was, maybe the parish is growing. People are seeking God. And then they suffer. And I don't want it. Believe me, I don't want it. But I want to be like the saints. And I want to take the little sufferings that God gives me. I don't want to go looking for it. But whatever little sufferings He gives me, I want to embrace those and say, that's my little way of being a saint. That's my cross that no one can take away from me. And that's all of us. So success, we measure our success by worldly standards. And when it doesn't go that way, we're upset. You know, I thought God was going to bless me to have a really good business, have a nice house, and have well-behaved children. What's going on, God? Who said? You said. And your idol you made up. God wants you in paradise. He wants you to become humble. So maybe He gives you rambunctious, crazy kids. Maybe He gives you a wife who's hard on you. Maybe He gives you a boss who's stinky. To humble you down. To make you think of more than just yourself in this life. It's a totally different way of thinking. The saints' ways of thinking is how we have to start thinking. And then we'll not be depressed. It is intolerable, brothers and sisters, for us to be depressed. Intolerable. Why do I say that? Now, I understand a lot of us struggle with depression. What do I mean? It needn't be that way. The world makes us depressed. The world says, here is happiness. Here is success. And you don't measure up? You're pathetic. You're a loser. You're not pretty enough. You're not beautiful enough. You're not rich enough. You don't have a nice enough house. Right? You're not whatever this. Who cares about that? Who cares? This world's a mess. And you care what they think? Yes, we do. And part of the Orthodox Christian life is said, the heck with that, dying world. In the world, but not of it. Let these holy men and women, these are our normal. You read the lives of the saints. I'll tell you, people in this church that read the lives of the saints every day, they're much more dreadful people than the ones that don't. Start reading them. Because you go, oh, my life is so hard. This boss is so bad. And then I read about St. Demetrius and go, he suffered so much. He had all the money in the world at his fingertips. But he wouldn't betray Christ. And he suffered so much and he had joy. I can do it. I can do it. These saints show us what we can do. Brothers and sisters, we're going to go on until the end of our days just singing Christmas carols and saying, joy to the world. And there's no joy inside of us. It's intolerable. You know why? Because it can be very different. You can be a transfigured person in the church. Christ can be born in your heart. How can you do it? You get baptized in that font if you're not. If you've been baptized, you renew it constantly to make that garment white through confession. Don't not take the medicine. Start praying morning and evening. Make this church your life. Make these people your life. These are your. Look at each other. You're going to dwell in eternity together. You don't even know each other. Think about that. But you care more about what some person out there thinks, so you don't even know. Let us listen to how a holy person helped this priest. And imagine this is spoken to you from Christ. These beautiful words. Have you ever thought that everything that touches you touches me as well? For that which touches you touches the apple of my eye. You are dear in my eyes, precious, and I have loved you. Therefore, it is a particular pleasure for me to educate you. When temptations arise against you and the enemy comes like a river, I want you to know this was from me, from God. Your weakness needs my strength, and your safety comes from giving me the opportunity to fight for you. If you find yourself in difficult circumstances among people who do not understand you, who do not take what you like into consideration, who alienate you, this was from me. I am God who arranges everything, all circumstances. It was no accident that you find yourself in the place where you are. This is the place I have appointed for you. Did you not ask that I teach you humility? Well then look, I have placed you precisely in that place. In that school where this lesson is learned. Your surroundings and those who live with you are only fulfilling my will. If you find yourself in financial difficulty, hard to make ends meet, this was from me. For I have your material means at my disposal. I want you to call upon me, for you to be dependent upon me. My reserves are inexhaustible. I want you to be confirmed in fidelity to me and to my promises. May it not be said to you in your need, you did not believe in the Lord your God. Are you in a night of suffering? Are you separated from your loved ones and those close to your heart? This was from me. I am the man of suffering who has tasted affliction. I have allowed this so that you would turn to me, so that in me you would find eternal comfort. If you have been let down by your friend, to someone to whom you opened your heart, this was from me. I allowed this disappointment to touch you so you would know that your best friend is me, the Lord. I want you to bring everything to me and to speak to me. Has someone spoken bad about you, gossiped about you, slandered you? Give this to me and bring your soul closer to me, your refuge, to hide you from the contradiction of the nations. I shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. If your great big plans have been destroyed, if you are tired and downtrodden in soul, this was from me. You made plans and you brought them to me so I would bless them. But I want you to leave me in charge of the circumstances of your life, and then responsibility for everything will be mine, for this is too difficult for you. By yourself you cannot manage them, for you are only an instrument and not the actor. If unanticipated problems of life have visited you, and if sadness and despondency has seized your heart, then know this, it was from me. For I want your heart and your soul to always be aflame before my eyes, to conquer faint-heartedness of the soul in my name. If you do not hear from your loved ones and friends for a long time, and if in your weak-heartedness you fall into grumbling and complaining, this was from me. By the anguish in your spirit, I test the strength of your faith in the surety of my promise and the strength of your boldness in prayer for these dear ones of yours. Was it not you who entrusted them to the protection of my mother? Was it not you who once entrusted their care to my providential love? If serious illness, either temporary or incurable, has visited you and has confined you to your home or to your bed, then know, this was from me. For I want you to know me even more deeply in your bodily sickness, so that you would not grumble and complain over this trial sent to you, that you would not try to penetrate my holy plans through different means for the salvation of people's souls, but rather that you would uncomplainingly and submissively bow your neck under my goodness towards you. If you have dreamed of doing and performing some special deeds for me, and instead have fallen into a bed of sickness and weakness, this was from me. Then you would have been immersed in your activities, and I would not have been able to attract your thoughts to me. For I want to teach you my deepest thoughts and lessons so that you would be in my true service. I want to teach you to recognize that you are nothing. Some of my best workers are those who have been cut off from worldly vital activity, that they would learn to wield the incredible weapon of unceasing prayer. Have you unexpectedly been called to occupy a difficult and responsible position? Go, place it on me. I entrust these difficulties to you so the Lord God would bless you for this in all your deeds, on all your paths, and everything that will be done by your hands. On this day, I put into your hands a vessel of holy oil. Use it generously, my children. Every difficulty that arises, every word that insults you, every obstacle to your work that it could elicit in you a feeling of annoyance, every revelation of your weakness and inability shall be anointed with this holy oil. Remember, every obstacle and difficulty is a divine instruction. Every sting will be dulled when you learn to see me in everything that touches you. Therefore, place the word I have declared to you today in your heart. This was from me, for this is not an empty matter for you. This is your life. How beautiful. Brothers and sisters, may we live with this understanding that nothing goes unheard, unseen by our Lord, who is love. And may in this holy time, may we go deep into our hearts. May we deeply repent. May we love Christ, the love of Christ. Father, I don't believe, I don't know. I get it. Start now. Make this church your hospital. I don't know how to pray. Start reading the morning, evening prayers. I don't know how to fast. Start asking one of the priests and spiritual fathers. Start reading spiritual books and put your phone down. Stop being addicted to things and start living this way of the church. And you know what happens? These words would seem so far and so hard, they become dear and sweet to you. My prayer as a priest, and for myself and for all of us, is that the living God would be born in our hearts. That this heart of mine, disgusting as it is, would be a throne for Him. And if we have that, nothing can take us down. Nothing can make us depressed. And even in a prison camp, for God's sake, we can know that everything is from His hand. Certainly in this very blessed life, we can as well. Lord Jesus Christ, please forgive us all of our sins, all of our worldly idols, and help us to have knowledge of You above all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is born.